Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What's going on? How are you today? TK and Tierney on this Friday. Around the country here, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, coming to you from the TK and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios, who understands it's not just a mortgage, but it's your mortgage. That's the difference. Rocket Mortgage, push button. Get mortgage on this Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day. I mean, boy.
Today.
Talk about milking the system, huh?
Don't spend any money.
Talk about milking the... Too late?
That's my philosophy.
Too late? By the way, as great as technology is, and we're going to start with the Myles Garrett stuff, which is really interesting. Again, as great as most technology is, right?
Yep.
So this morning, by the way, in our house, Valentine's Day has somehow morphed into like Christmas morning.
That's right.
Now there's like bags and Star Wars figures and Elsa and Anna Frozen. They're like, what is it? What the hell's Easter going
to
be like?
Another reason to buy gifts.
Exactly. And, Jen didn't want a ton of chocolate either. I know that you said the same thing about Trey's. And she doesn't love roses, but I feel that I got to get them. Like, as the man, as the husband, I got to get them, right? So I'm running around this morning. Jen made pancakes for the kids, and there's cupcakes for the teachers and the whole class, and there's cards. And like, it was ridiculous in a good way. So finally, kids are out, and I run to the gym, and I put it in order for, and I think I'm like the stealth husband, and I put it in order for, you know, I don't want to really say in case she's watching, but I come home from after juggling the gym, and then I'm like, well, do I hide them in the garage? She's still home, so I can't bring him in and hide him. All right, maybe I'll keep him in the car, and I'll just kind of position him with the child seat so they don't knock over, which is what I did. Long story short, I walk in the house, and she says, and she's sitting at the kitchen table, and she was doing something with the landscaper for a bill. And she said, somebody went a little shopping. I mean, could you at least let me have it? I paid for him 13 minutes before. Of course, she's on online banking.
That's all that
matters.
What
shows up? The florist, X amount of money.
It's like the alert. All your credit cards can alert you now. I mean, it's important that they alert you because just say someone takes your credit card number and buys something. But you can't surprise anyone. I just ask Tracy these days, like, what do you want?
Yeah.
Tell me what you want.
And hopefully don't say anything expensive. We're not getting jewelry around Valentine's Day. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
I could have, you know what? I could have used my credit cards. I mean, there's now I'm going to have to start doing that. Like, because they're, you know, my own,
stuff. You're going to have to go old school. You're going to have to go to the ATM.
Do a little cashish.
Go get a little cashish.
Get a little discount.
Rip them off. Hey, can I get those? Hey, can I get a 10% discount?
Exactly.
It's cash, man.
I'll pay cash. And they'll probably say, let's go. All right. So, listen, Myles Garrett has doubled down now on, obviously, you know, he's reinstated the situation with Mason Rudolph.
Yep.
Back on November 14th, smashing the helmet with the head immediately after, or roughly thereafter. But that night, Myles Garrett said that Mason Rudolph used the N-word. So that is the short, long and short of it. And today, and he said this on ESPN, right, Mike?
Yep, outside the lines. Yep.
He was asked about this again, and he didn't back down. Here's Myles Garrett.
I mean, he called me the N-word. He called me a stupid N-word. I don't say the N-word, whether it's known with A, E-R. To me, personally, it just shouldn't be said, and whether it's known by family, friends, anyone. And I don't want to use it because I don't want to find that appropriate around me for anyone to use.
Okay, this is a really tough one because it's impossible to have any sort of definitive opinion because somebody's lying.
Yeah.
Somebody's lying out of these two.
That's right.
Either Mason Rudolph is lying and he initially, said it, well, I didn't say it.
And that's uncomfortable because if he's lying, then he's a racist.
Exactly, right? Which is reprehensible.
I agreed.
If he didn't say it and Myles Garrett is using that to either soften how he's perceived in the court of public opinion, or maybe even earlier on, maybe to lessen his what he would be banned. That's reprehensible because slapping a racist label on somebody forever really ruins and alters their life.
That's right.
So, I mean, I want to have a good opinion on this, but Teak, this is something you can't be wrong on.
No, you can't. It's why it's hard to judge and have a conversation, which is why, to me, I look at Myles Garrett, This look, he gets suspended for six games, loses $1.18 million, so almost $1.2 million of his salary this season because he was suspended for six games. The shame of not being there for his teammates when they needed him the most, obviously, because they were still in the playoff hunt at that point. They obviously faltered down the stretch, and they needed leadership, which is something we'll get to in our next segment, BT. But like, he played it out. Like, we all saw it. It sucked for him. It sucked for the Browns. It goes 6 weeks. They go into the offseason. He gets his meeting with the commissioner. The commissioner lets him off, right? He says, look, some people wanted you banned permanently. Mm-hmm. Some people wanted you gone for at least four or five more games in 2020, right? It's done. He fell into a trap, man. He fell into a media trap getting asked this question and feeling like he had to respond. And when he doubles down, it brings it all back up again and creates this, man, now we got to pick a side here. Not pick a side, but we got to try to get to the bottom of this because you're not letting it go. Mm. If he would have let it go, I'm not sure we would have talked about this racist side of this again.
But if Mason Rudolph did say it, he shouldn't let it go. But Mason, that's what's complicated.
But I agree, but how are we going to prove that?
Oh, we're not. There's no audio.
It's just an enormous if, you know? And the NFL investigated it, obviously. They said so. At least they said they did. Mm-hmm. We don't know if they actually did. They said there was no evidence.
No. Teammates, we're going to play something in a second from Ramon Foster, one of his teammates.
Both sides.
Yep. Didn't hear it.
Didn't hear it. Mm-hmm. And so there's no bottom. You're not getting to the bottom of this no matter what. But Myles Garrett brings this back and puts it front and center. And it makes us, like, think about this. Like, who are we now? Whose side are we on? Mm-hmm. Interestingly, Mason Rudolph actually said he has no gripe with Myles Garrett.
He should.
I mean, he should, but after the fact. I'm talking about after the fact, not recently.
Oh, gotcha.
After the fact, after this whole thing played out a week or so later, he said, look, I've moved on from it. I have no beef with Myles Garrett. In fact, he was like, oh, let's just let it go. Mm. He brings this back up now, mm-hmm. and what sucks – really, for Mason Rudolph, is it... He's got to defend himself, and he's not a superstar.
Yeah.
Right?
Which makes him expendable.
Which makes him expendable. Mm-hmm. Which makes him dismissible.
That's exactly what I meant.
In so many different ways.
Yes.
And Myles Garrett's a star, mm-hmm. right? He's great. He's going to be amazing for years to come. And it's almost like he's picking on the little guy who can't defend himself, really, because what's he going to say? He's already said, I didn't say it.
Listen... boy, you know, to be fair to Garrett on two levels mm-hmm. here. Now, I don't know if Mason Rudolph said it. You don't know. I think there's probably two people in the world who know.
That's right.
The two people behind us.
That's right.
Because obviously it wasn't the kind of thing where Mason Rudolph, you know, screamed it while he was standing, you know, yelling where everybody could hear it. If it occurred, it would have been in that close proximity, I believe, when the helmet was getting ripped off mm-hmm. and Myles Garrett was on top of him. Now, I'm just asking the question. Is it possible for Mason Rudolph to have said that, given the relationship, the spatial relationship between the two? Nobody else hear it except Myles Garrett.
Yeah, especially because they were on the ground, you know, face mask to face mask, basically.
To me, the answer is yes.
Yeah.
On that.
Of course. But I can't prove it.
And it's really, it's unfortunate. This is something you need an answer to. We
definitely need an answer because he brings it back up.
But here's the thing. If
he would have let it lay, would we have talked about this again?
If he hadn't said anything. We certainly wouldn't be leading the show with it,
that's
for
right.
sure.
But would it have
you
come...
You mean when it first transpired in mid-November?
Yeah.
If Myles Garrett... First, we would have focused on the helmet smash.
Of course.
And then, like, as a subset of that,
yes.
Well, what was the impetus behind that? Well, Myles Garrett said that he was called the N-word,
yeah.
Which, let's be honest, in a lot of ways, I know I sound like I'm not a fully evolved human being, but it kind of gives you the right to smash somebody over the head.
I agree.
I people really have an issue when I say that.
But
it kind of does if I'm Myles Garrett. If somebody calls, this is coming from a white guy. I don't know what you want me to say. But if I'm black and somebody calls me that, I'm swinging.
Yeah.
I'm swinging.
And maybe he tried to and just forgot he had a helmet in his hand. That's what we speculated on at the time.
We did.
But my question now, as we move this thing forward, BT, if he has his meeting 3 days ago with the commissioner, lifts his suspension because he was suspended indefinitely. He wasn't suspended for six games. He was suspended indefinitely, which could be indefinite.
Mm-hmm.
He lifts his suspension because Miles is actually a well-spoken, like straightforward, you know, good guy who's had some on-field issues, but nothing like egregious.
No.
Right? And so,
not like Sue, the start to Sue's career.
Exactly. But he's lifted. He's free of this burden. He can now go back into the offseason workout program, be around his boys, be with the new coaching staff, learn his role, and learn everything that's going on. If he hadn't said this, we would have just been like, all right, Miles Garrett's going to go try to be, you know, a great player again. Mm-hmm. That would be the conversation. It wouldn't be about whether or not he's lying or whether or not Mason Rudolph has racist tendencies on football Sundays.
Yeah.
Right? And that's why it's unfair.
Yeah. I mean, just imagine for a moment. Now, I mean, you want to give an opinion, but do I think Rudolph said it? I did not. Mm-hmm. I did not. I can't prove it. I don't say that with incredible confidence. I didn't feel that in November. You listen to Myles Garrett. It sounds pretty believable.
Yeah.
It seems pretty rational.
It's not like
I don't want to believe
it. It's not like he's thinking it up on the fly and making an excuse on the fly.
It doesn't seem like he is, for sure. But just for a moment, imagine if Garrett is just overtly lying. And he said it then to try to save his own behind. Mm-hmm. Go back to November.
And he's got to stick with it.
And now he's got to keep carrying the torch. I said this. I got to keep
rolling. Yeah, but he's got to be smarter, though.
I agree. But just put yourself in Mason Rudolph's shoes now.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine walking into a locker room that's 70% black.
Yeah.
And you didn't say that. And one of the best defensive players in the NFL is telling the whole world that you said it. How do you continue your career?
It's hard.
You go up to every single, you know, black teammate, and you probably have to.
And say, I didn't say this.
You address the whole team. You probably know me, but still.
Well, either one. Doesn't matter.
How unfair is that to somebody?
It's uncomfortable, especially for a guy who's not a superstar. Right, he's delusional.
I don't think that matters.
I do.
I do because
if he's out on the field playing next year and he throws for 350 yards and four touchdowns, it just lessens the impact of this.
Mm-hmm.
It won't define him, right? This now will define Mason Rudolph if this persists and people start labeling him this, even though we don't know if it's true.
I see what you mean. We are pretty shallow as a society. Sadly, you're probably right.
We are. It is what it is.
That's
right?
a sad statement.
It is a very sad statement.
Yeah, but we do that all the time. You're right.
You're going to play away this ire, this dislike that we have for you.
Yep.
You played it away.
Happens all the time.
There's plenty of examples.
Sprewell did choke out P.J. Carlissimo. Guys who brought guns into locker rooms.
That's right. Exactly right.
That's true. That is a fair statement. He can't play it away.
And so now he's just got to defend himself against something that's probably not true.
And how do we know how he was raised? Like, what if he truly was raised? And I tend to try to illuminate the good, and then I react when something presents itself, and it's opposite.
Right.
And then we'll obviously react to the bad.
You give people the benefit of the doubt. You have to.
Not everybody does, but certainly you and I do.
Yep.
And with issues like this, certainly more so because just how damaging they can be, if not accurate. But my point is, like, how do we know that Mason Rudolph wasn't or doesn't come from a family where, you know, mom and dad truly, like most good families, truly impressed upon him from an early age equality, some of the atrocities of our nation. Yeah. How do we know that?
Yeah.
And like this guy's got to walk around. Now, again, if he said it, Myles Garrett should get 2 minutes with him in the parking lot with no helmet. He won't need it.
I agree.
And just light him up. You know, but this is really unfortunate. And I don't know, like, is the league doing a good enough job?
Yeah.
Because a lot of things, a lot of interactions, a lot of, you know, on social media, people are, like, mystified.
Yeah.
How is there no, like, how does the NFL not have audio? They have audio of everything. Are we, now, not every quarterback's mic'd up like Sam Darnold when he had the ghost comment.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really want to make mic up a guy who might go 17 for 36 with two picks?
I mean,
what's the appeal with that for a TV point of view?
And he was terrible in this particular game. just to be fair. But here's the thing, I have to go back to Myles Garrett, because this ultimately, for me, falls on Myles Garrett.
Go ahead.
He was asked this question on Outside the Lines. There were so many other ways to handle it other than doubling down like he did. Like, we talked about this already. It doesn't do me any good. It doesn't do my team any good.
Yep.
It doesn't do Mason Rudolph any good to rehash what allegedly happened. It doesn't do anybody good. Let people, because it dies then.
Like, the only thing I hear you.
It, but it dies. And then someone else is saying,
I know.
Someone else is saying, well, those who forgot, Myles Garrett said that Mason Rudolph said a racist comment instead of Myles Garrett saying, he called me the N-word. That's just, it's a different perception.
I hate to volley this back because it's such an easy volley. But what if he really said it? Myles Garrett then has the right to double down.
But he has no proof.
I understand that.
It's just so hard.
I understand that.
And the NFL didn't back him. His teammates didn't back him.
Yeah.
Obviously, Mason Rudolph's Pittsburgh Steelers teammates didn't cooperate that either.
Mm-hmm.
It's just there's no way to prove it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in the
tough call,
in
man.
It is. But in the absence of being able to prove it, you should have just took the high road. I understand that he got baited into this in this interview, and now outside the lines is getting all the pub from it. But he got baited in, and that's on him.
Hmm.
That's on him.
855-212-4227. Obviously, give you a chance to react. If you don't want to call, if you can't call, Twitter Tiki and Tierney at Tiki Barber at Brandon Tierney. So with Garrett returning, as you look from the overwhelming large snapshot of the Browns leadership, which is woefully absent last year.
It was the biggest issue last year.
Who's the leader this year? That's still kind of a problem. We'll talk about that coming up. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Bam, 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 bam. Bam, wham, bam, bam.
All right, Teak, get some of these calls here. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. Sponsored by GEICO. So whether you own or rent, GEICO makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote. Geico.com. Yeah, a little bit of a rough day for our boy Tiger. Tiger Woods, 73.
Yeah.
All over the yard today for the Genesis.
69 yesterday? 69.
And he shot a 69, and he started really well with that eagle, so yeah. He kind of petered out a bit. Maybe it's not going to be Tiger's weekend. Obviously, you know, he's going to make the cut. He's playing on, he'll be on CBS over the weekend, but I believe he's going to start pretty early tomorrow. So actually, I don't know how much he'll be on CBS. Anyway, you cut it. If you want Tiger, he's going to be on the Golf Channel. And if you want the golf, it's there for you. But let you know what's going on. I just saw the TV, and they're still playing. So the Myles Garrett situation, you know, it's pretty basic at its core.
Mm-hmm.
You either believe Rudolph said it or he didn't. But it's really never that simple when it comes to race. It's
no.
Just not. It's a delicate issue.
It is, especially, you know, in a league that has so many African-American players and the interactions are normally, like, there is never really an issue. I mean, sometimes there are, but very rarely are there issues because of race.
Riley Cooper
and
at the concert.
And Riley Cooper was probably one of the major examples come to mind.
Yeah.
But that wasn't even in the locker room.
But it moved into,
It certainly did. And it usually gets, like, taken care of.
It probably cost Chip Kelly's job.
It probably
if you think
did.
About it.
It probably did. It's on top of the fact that Shady, LeSean McCoy, you know, left out of there basically calling him a racist.
Yeah, he did.
Which, you know, didn't help things.
No.
Or because it was right around the same time. So it usually, like, takes care of itself in locker rooms.
Mm-hmm.
But when they get when it gets, like, blown up like this or, like, the Riley Cooper situation, it doesn't go away quickly.
It doesn't. Let's get some calls. Then we'll get into the leadership aspect of the Browns. I want to throw something by you with that. Let's get Mark in Louisville. And Mark is up first on this Friday here on Tiki and Tierney. Mark, what's up, buddy?
Hey, how you guys doing today? Happy Valentine's Day.
Appreciate you, Mark.
Is this what we're doing? We're are we really going to wish each other happy Valentine's Day?
It's all about love.
It's all good,
all about love and appreciation, Mark.
Thanks,
Mark. Same to you.
That's what I feel about this whole situation. I'm an older man. I grew up in the 70s, mm-hmm. and a lot of this kind of stuff was flying around. And, you know, if you didn't like it, you better be ready to back it up, you know, duke it out, get it over with, agree to disagree and move on from it and realize that we're all human beings. We need to live together. We might disagree and you know, have a problem. But after that problem is over, you need to, you know, learn something from it. Be a man.
Yeah. And,
you know?
Well, I think, Mark, more importantly, just let it go. Right? Like
if you're Garrett.
Yeah, like move on
Thanks
from
for
it.
The call,
yeah,
Mark.
Appreciate your call, Mark. I get that it might be upsetting to him still, even, but it can't be the only time.
But this is where you and I differ a little bit. I think it's unfair to Garrett to say let it go if it was said.
But BT, I mean, obviously, I grew up in an area that wasn't fully, you know, African American. Like my mom sacrificed to put us in the county, so we weren't in the city. And so I was around a lot of, you know, Caucasian.
Mm-hmm.
All my friends are Caucasian, right? When I was growing up, sometimes I'd get called the N-word.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't, sometimes it was malicious. A lot of times it wasn't. Sometimes it was the ignorance of the 80s or whatever
yep.
you want to say. But if I let every one of those things bother me, I never would have gotten to be the person that I am. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I understand that it was in the heat of a moment in a football game and it's lasting because of that and because there was a severe penalty associated with it. But you can't let these things, like, determine your actions months forward, you know? And so when I say let it go, that's what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got to move forward from it because you can't let something that should be insignificant in your life define your continued existence, if
yeah.
that makes sense.
Oh, no, that makes total. I mean, that's just as a standalone statement, I think we'd all co-sign
yeah.
it. There's no doubt. You know, we got a couple of tweets about this, too, and, you know, it's basically it's a recurring theme, so mm-hmm. I don't really need to identify who tweeted it. A bunch of people hit the same thing where they said, you know, is it possible that one of Pouncey or one of the linemen for the Steelers,
100%.
As they were trying to rip Garrett off of Rudolph, use the word.
No doubt.
You know, like, get off
There's
my
no
quarterback,
doubt.
Whatever.
There's no doubt.
And maybe Garrett thought it was Rudolph.
Maybe. I would not put that past anyone. You
right.
know? And especially because they vouched for him.
Right? Yeah,
they did. Those guys that were trying to get Mason Rudolph.
Immediately. And aggressively. For
him. Exactly.
Yep. I got you. Let's get Joseph, who's out in Houston, Texas. The home of the cheating Astros. Those slippery, I can't get into it again, Joe. What's up, Joe? How are you?
What's up, guys?
Hey, man.
Hey, you know, I have an easy solution to this, okay?
Uh-huh.
So I got blamed for something years and years ago.
Okay.
And I had to get an attorney involved and everything. Well, for a couple hundred bucks, I went to the FBI local in Houston. And I did a lie detector test. Now, if either one of these guys cares enough, and if we're going to talk about it so much, we might as well have one of them go plead their case. Like, I think this looks a lot worse.
That's novel, man.
Rudolph. I mean, seriously, like, if I was Rudolph, that's the first thing I'd be doing. I'm not going to sit here and just go to person to person. Hey, look at this paperwork. I was telling the truth.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah, but the problem, Joe, they're not always reliable.
Yeah,
they're true. Not 100% reliable.
That's true.
They're not.
You can like calm.
Just look, meet the Fockers.
That was a great movie. That was a great one.
Thanks for the call, Joe.
Novel, Joseph. Seriously, that's novel.
Well, the NFL will probably turn into a reality show, make some money on it. It could lead into draft night.
You're joking.
Of course, I'm
you're
joking.
You're joking, but I wouldn't put it past them.
Oh, man. You know, I know what Joe's saying. I mean, it holds merit. Like,
of course, because it would calm it immediately.
Yeah, and it would be a way for him to expunge the vitriol that's got to be coming at him.
Of course.
I mean, it's got to be.
Yeah.
It has to be. It has to be.
It definitely is.
So, you know, this is unfortunate. You know, and now, you know, listen, we're still a little bit certainly a ways from training camp OTAs, but the same elusive issue that permeated the franchise a year ago,
mm-hmm.
unless you see a little bit differently right now, Teague, where's the leadership? So who's going to help stabilize this Browns team?
And
not just because of the Garrett stuff. I mean, in totality, everything.
It's kind of part of it, in a sense. Because, you know, the one game I did for CBS last year was the Browns and the Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about the Bengals a little bit yesterday and Andy Dalton and how he can be a valuable resource somewhere in the NFL. But when we talked to the Browns, and one of the questions I asked Freddie Kitchens is, like, who's your leader? And obviously, the head coach takes on some responsibility.
That's my responsibility, Tiki.
I'm a good old ball coach,
put
right?
Put that on my broad shoulders,
but
Tiki.
I'm actually a tight end coach, so I don't know what I'm doing. Well, now he's a tight end coach.
Yes.
He was a running back coach.
How was he with your Giants?
I actually like Freddie Kitchens.
I like Freddie,
I really
too.
Do.
He's just a horrendous head coach.
He was just over his head.
Yeah.
I don't know if he'll ever.
I didn't even mean horrendous. He just was not ready for the job.
But I asked him this question, and he was like, no, we don't. It should be Miles, but Miles is quiet.
Mm-hmm. Why shouldn't it be Baker?
It's because Baker's like swimming in.
Wasn't
like,
swimming as a rookie. 27
I know
touchdowns, rookie record,
and that's kind of
swimming. He swims his way to a gold medal at the Olympics.
Here's what I think. What happens in the second year? You just get more put on your plate,
mm-hmm.
right? So as a rookie, I can't imagine how simple it was. It's like, you got three steps, let that thing go. Throw it as hard as you can, hit him in the chest. And we saw that, unfortunately, against BT's Jets.
Right? I knew right away we were losing that game.
But it was simple. It was like, three steps, get the ball out, get it to where it needs to be. Right? Mm-hmm. Don't overthink. You know, I mean, don't worry about reading defenses downfield. You know, if you see a shot, take it. But otherwise, get the ball out of your hands quick. Chuck it down to, you know, at that time, Duke Johnson or whoever the heck your running back was. Like, make all the smart plays, which he did. And he was really good at it. Going into your second year, quarterbacks have to grow. Like, you have to expand your playbook because they now have a book on you. And so when he had to do that, he was thinking too much. And Baker even said it. He's like, dude, I'm thinking so much about what I have to do than what this guy has to do and what this other guy has to do. It's like hard to be that leader when you're that young and have all that responsibility. So the question still remains as we go into year three of Baker and year one of Kevin Stefanski, who the heck is the leader on the Cleveland Browns?
Mm-hmm.
It should be Myles Garrett, but he's going to...
I think it's got to be Baker. I'm going to keep sticking with Baker. You know how you start leadership? Hmm. Stop doing so many stupid commercials. You haven't earned the right.
Yeah,
I'll never begrudge somebody for getting paid, but enough. Enough with the Lowe's commercials. You were horrendous last year. You're one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL.
Sure.
Your teammates will lose respect for you, which I still believe they do respect you. But if they keep seeing you out there and you're 1-3 or you're 2-5 and you're all over every commercial break on the NFL Network or on CBS or on Fox, and we see you living inside of Browns inside of the stadium, not acceptable at this point. Lay low. That's how he should lead.
I agree.
Lay low this offseason.
Agreed.
You know, the thing that changed for him, too, and we'll get Jay's update here in a second, but just to conclude my thought on the Browns, the thing that changed, and think about when he entered that game that we referenced against mm-hmm. the Jets, whether it was a Monday, I think it was Thursday night game.
It was standalone.
Yeah, I think it was Thursday. It was in Cleveland for sure, and the Jets looked pretty good, and then, of course, Baker came off the bench for Tyrod Taylor, and we know what happened. The difference between that night and what ensued versus year two, that night they unlocked the Bud Light beer chamber. Like, that's what that was about. We're drinking beer. And then year two was about, we're going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Think about how different that is. Hey, free beers, free suds.
That's interesting.
We're going to Miami.
That's interesting. Ugh. Expectation change just a little bit.
That'll change everybody a little bit. So he's got to recalibrate, and I think he's going to have a good season. All right, let's get the update here from Jay. Coming up, inbounds, out of bounds here on Tiki and Tierney. And listen, we all were saddened and speechless when we saw Ryan Shazier lying on the turf motionless and galvanized when we saw him walk out at the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Now I cringe a little bit when I read that he could, this is amazing, could actually really truly try to come back and play. We'll debate that in inbounds, out of bounds after Jay's update, which is right now. Here's Jay.
All right, inbounds, out of bounds coming up in a moment here on Tiki and Tierney. Time to ask the pros, where we give you a chance to ask us anything you want. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Just tweet us, CBS Sports Radio, and use the hashtag Ask the Pros. Make sure you stick around, listen later on. Tiki and I will answer the best one. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs. Guarantee low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices. Every single day. So I am taking him to see Star Wars tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
I am. I know he might be a little young for it.
Mm-hmm. Nah, you're never too young for Star Wars.
Well, I think this Star Wars is a little different than the Star Wars that you and I were first introduced to.
Are you talking about the new?
The one that's in the theaters. Yeah. That's pretty much going to be out of the theaters really soon.
Has he seen all of them?
Not all of them. Yeah. I mean, he just turned five.
Yeah.
I mean, he's seen The Empire Strikes Back.
Okay.
He's seen parts of A New Hope. And... yeah, it's a little long. Was it 220-ish?
Yeah, it's.
I'm hoping he doesn't.
he's going to be asleep on your.
Won't sleep, and he won't be scared. I'm not worried about that. Yeah. I don't. There's no blood as per Star Wars.
No, they just like people get blasted, but you know.
Oh sure,
see it.
But it just kind of goes in. You don't really see anything.
Yeah.
So he's
just
got
the charred remains of.
That's true, especially the lava scene.
Exactly,
that was a great scene. I think the only blood. I might be missing a scene here, but. To my knowledge, the only blood in Star Wars was the scene in A New Hope when Obi-Wan sliced off that the creature's arm in the bar.
Yeah, that's right.
Remember that? And his arm was on the floor?
Yeah, because the... What was
the bear, whatever that thing was. I don't even know what it was.
The Empire Strikes Half-Wookie. Back? What's the animal that he killed?
The Tauntaun when they were out in the freezing cold
exactly.
when he went on went
but
out
that
to,
wasn't really blood it was just
no
like,
it was guts it was to like try to warm him up he tried to save Luke and stuffed him in there
still
Han
gross.
Very resourceful
it's still gross
not just a blaster guy not just a pilot also pretty smart all right let's get to inbounds out of bounds here we go
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and Out of Bounds now. Tiki and Tierney.
Here we go. So back in 2017, Steelers linebacker Ryan Shazier suffered a devastating back injury that caused the former Buckeye to lose usage of his legs. Now, the early prognosis was that he would likely never walk again, but as we know, Shazier made a miraculous recovery, even walked onto Heinz Field, in a dramatic moment in 2018. At the draft, he came out with crutches with his wife, so... He's been grinding to get his gait back, which is amazing. While it originally seemed impossible that he would ever play again, Steelers GM Kevin Colbert said yesterday, quote, "When you're dealing with Ryan, you're not dealing with a timetable. You're dealing with a guy trying to resurrect his career." Okay, that's an end quote there. In or out, even if Shazier is clear to play, you would not want to see him back on the field.
I'm going to say out of bounds of this, BT. I actually would love to see this because it would mean that he's been fully cleared. He's physically back to strength. I think the hard thing to think about is that we know how powerful and amazing the human body is, but also how fragile it is. And so when something like this happens, like what happened with Ryan Shazier and the partial paralyzation of his body, you can't help but think about the fragility. You don't think about the strength.
Mm-hmm.
You think about the fragility and the chance that it could happen again. But if he works his way back to actually being in playing shape, I think it would be a great story. And now, with that being said, I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But I love that he's trying to do it.
Yeah. I mean, I love that he's chasing something, because without motivation for something, you know, I can only imagine what it's been like for, especially early, for Ryan in his deepest, most intimate thoughts, when he's just, you know, lying in solitude, thinking about what he was as an athlete and now what is his new, you know, reality, or was his new reality. So I love that he's chasing it. I don't want to see him play. And I'm with you. I don't think he'll be able to come back, and I almost don't even want to say that, because to apply limitations to somebody who was supposed to be paralyzed and then walked, we have no right saying that we don't think he could play, really, if you think about it. But I just... Yeah, fragility is a very important word here. I just would watch with horror every time he's in a collision remotely near the ball, and I don't wish that for his loved ones.
Yeah, I can see you'd be scared. Every hit, you'd be scared.
Yep, and the Steelers, you would hope most organizations would do this, but I know they've done the right thing for insurance point of view, so I don't know that it's necessarily monetarily driven or anything like that. I don't want to say it. I'm going to say inbounds.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Teek. The NBA All-Star Weekend tips off tonight with the Rising Stars Challenge and continues tomorrow with the three-point and the dunk contest here. Now, the dunk contest used to feature all the high-flying, high-profile, you know, Michael Jordan was there, Dominique, Kobe, Dr. J. He actually started it back in 1976 in the ABA in Denver. Clyde the Glide Drexler, Larry Nance won the first one, the new iteration, in 84. I remember actually watching that. In recent years, the top names have shied away, as we know, because nobody wants to get embarrassed. Let's be honest. They could say, well, it's maintenance. They want to preserve their bodies. Nobody wants to get embarrassed.
You're right.
They process it differently. They think about it differently. They don't want to lose on that stage. So the four contestants this year, Dwight Howard. Well, I'm curious what D12 brings to the table.
He's almost so tall that, how can he...
He won one before.
He did.
He looked pretty good.
He did.
Jumping over cars and slapping Superman stickers on the backboard.
What is he, 36 now?
I don't think 35. He's not 30.
He's up there.
What was he? First overall pick in 2002-ish?
Yeah.
I mean, he's played a good... Yeah, I mean, he probably is 35, 36, whatever it is. He's not a kid.
34.
We know that.
34. D-cell, just been for 34.
There you go. Aaron Gordon, a high flyer, as we know.
Mm-hmm.
Eshak. Patty Connaughton from Notre Dame. I love Patty Connaughton. And Derek Jones Jr. So, in or out, the dunk contest should incorporate the best non-NBA dunkers in the world
out
to spice
bounds.
Things
Come
up.
Come on, out of bounds. I mean, this...
A little too ambitious?
Yeah, this would be like the kid from Rucker Park who wins like the celebrity dunk contest that... What are those games that they have up there?
About the mixtape, the N1 back
in
the day? The
N1
professor
stuff,
those guys?
Yeah, exactly. You could have those guys come down and try to win. I mean, it'd be kind of cool once. But it wouldn't be good. It wouldn't be sustainable.
I agree.
So I'm going to stay out of bounds.
Listen, I love the NBA.
Yeah.
And I used to love the dunk contest. Uh-huh. I mean, from going out in my backyard and lowering the rim and, you know, and pumping the beatbox through my sister's window, which went down on our court, and, you know, trying everything from Kenny Smith through his legs and trying to do Dominique and MJ. I mean, I love the dunk contest. But it's funny. The dunk contest that I remember are the ones where if the stars were in it, you know, Vince Carter hanging on the rim, mm-hmm. even Dwight Howard doing what he did. You know, I'm sorry. No names, and I say that with all due respect, but no names in terms of, you know, having familiarity like we know some of the names of the past, the true Skywalkers. It's not going to sell. It's not going to be very memorable. I'm sorry. Right. It's just not. So
unless they do a dunk that's...
Okay.
But physics limits what they can do.
Well, the props are... There's no limit with the props.
Yeah, true. That's a good point.
So, and by the way, that's a bit of a turnoff. The props, to me, it's gotten a little childish. I'm sure my son will love it when he gets a little bit older, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. No. I mean, I want to see this. I want to see LeBron. I want to see LeBron do one. You know, I want to see the absolute superstars in the NBA compete, not guys who can jump out of the gym that I don't know who they are. That's not interesting to me.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, so as multiple Astros apologize for their actions in the sign-stealing scandal, reigning Cy Young winner Justin Verlander, never shy to express himself here, made it clear he didn't approve about what was going on.
I wish I had said more. You know, looking back, I can't go back. I can't reverse my decision. Like I said, I wish I had said more, and I didn't. And for that, I'm sorry.
What did you say?
That's between myself and my teammates.
That's code for nothing. As we know, Verlander's been outspoken about sign stealing in the past, never afraid to wade into murky waters.
Yeah.
It's funny because he's pulled up his own pants, not getting wet here.
Yep.
And, you know, I mean, half the team is drowning. That was a horrendous PR look. The owner, Jim Crane, looked awful yesterday.
And you can't read a prepared statement.
Oh, my good God. And then you can't contradict yourself 8 seconds later.
I know. I
mean, which is what he literally did. All right, so he's called out the practice in 2017 and even called for steroid users and cheaters to be banned for life. So he's been aggressive here. Now, our friend Trevor Bauer, who's not afraid to express himself either, even called out Verlander and the Astros pitchers for using foreign substances, which, of course, Verlander denied. All right, in or out. By the way, Bauer's been on a binge this week, hasn't he?
Yes.
We love that guy. We had him in 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. It's awesome. It's on YouTube, radio.com. It was great. In or out, you do question the validity of Verlander's resurgence in Houston.
Out of bounds. I think he got some advanced metrics work done and spin rate tutoring, so to speak, which helped accelerate his spin on his ball, which obviously he's always been a really good pitcher. You get that extra detail, it changes the way you can operate. Now, with that being said, do I believe what Trevor Bauer said, that guys do find ways to put a little Vaseline here, a little pine tar there?
It's going on forever.
It's going
Gaylord
on forever.
Perry, Phil Negro, whatever.
If that means I'm questioning him, then yes, I am. But I'm not questioning that because I know that that's part of the game.
Yeah.
So out of bounds.
I mean, I can't say that every pitcher does it, but it's naive to think that, listen, if hitters are trying to get their advantage, you don't think pitchers are trying to, you know, lessen the gap of the advantage that the hitters are getting? Of course they are. My answer is out of bounds. Keep in mind, listen, Verlander's, I think he's an all-time great. I think he's that good. He's an absolute Hall of Famer. You know, when his career went south in Detroit, I think, first of all, he was always pitching in the cold. I mean, you have to factor that. You get older.
Yep.
You know, April and even May in Detroit is no fun.
Nope.
September, blustery, cold. I mean, it's tough.
Yeah, you're bookended by freezing weather.
Correct. And he also had a core issue. He had surgery. He had a core surgical procedure, which when you just think about the mechanics, the motions of a pitcher, the engagement of the core,
especially a power
is paramount.
Especially a power pitcher.
Of course. So he's an all-time great. Do I think he's being a little evasive, a little shady with circumventing the answer to the question we heard? I do. But I also think that's by design. He's not going to just completely railroad all his teammates. Mm-hmm. He knows, and he's probably using a little bit of pine tar as well, but he's still an all-time great, so I don't really question it. Out of bounds.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
You know what's funny? And not that it helped me. My parents brought over about... I got to show you a picture of this at some point. You'll like this. My parents brought over God, it had to be a few months ago. A bunch of stuff that I had at that old articles, like when I was first getting into the business, a bunch of college stuff. And they had my college bat, the one from my senior year.
Oh, nice.
Dude, I got pine tar. Basically, you can't even read the logo. It didn't help me. I mean, but it went way past the meat of the bat. I mean, it is. I got to show you. It's hysterical. We're all looking for an advantage. Come on.
What does pine tar even do?
Well, the theory is that it generates a little spring. Because it's sticky, it goes in a little bit, and then it almost propels it and injects it out.
I thought they just didn't want to ruin the baseball.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.